Listen to these words that come from the book of Jeremiah. I'll be in Jeremiah chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles with you. Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 4, and read down through verse 10. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth and said to me, "I've put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." What an incredible story. Most of the prophets in the Old Testament have a similar type of story where God comes to them and speaks to them and calls them out. And God asks them to be involved in ministry in a special way. We still use that term even today. We talk about people called to ministry. I know the very first time that I felt that God was leading me towards a ministry, that I spoke to a pastor about it. He invited me into his office and we sat down and we talked about it. And he looked at me after me sharing with him what I felt was going on in my life and how God was speaking. He looked at me and he told me, he said, "Not once did you say you feel called to do this." He says, "I don't think you should be a pastor." My heart was broken because I really felt that that's what God was speaking to me about. I came to learn from him an important thing, and I'm glad that he said what he said. He was an interim pastor. He was, oh gosh, mid-70s, probably almost 80. Big, tall man, but as gentle a spirit as you would ever want. And I came to learn from Paul something very important. That if you're going to be in ministry, you need to know your call. And you need to know that God has called you. Because there will be important times during your ministry that you need to go back to that point and refresh that God did call me. Because disappointing things will happen. People will say the very wrong things to you. And you'll wonder, am I really called? And you need to have that moment that you can go back to and know that, yes, God called me. For me, that was a moment where I really had to search it out, and I really had problems with searching it out. And I was struggling with God about a call to ministry. And I took a half day off of work for the very specific purpose of spending half a day in prayer. It was a Friday, and I took off the afternoon. Matter of fact, it was a Friday in October. And a matter of fact, it was Friday the 13th in October. I believe it was in 1995. And I spent some time in prayer that day, and as a good Baptist, the first thing that I wanted to do was, I was behind in my daily Bible reading. So instead of actually talking to God about what I needed to talk to God about, I'm going to catch up on my Bible reading first. You know how that works, don't you? You feel that God has something that God wants to say to you, and God's asking you to respond, and God's asking you to do something, and you find whatever you can to delay talking to God about it. So I was reading about Saul and about him being called as the first king of Israel. And as I read this, it just popped off the page. Because you see, Samuel had come to him and had already anointed him and said, "You're going to be the first king. What I need you to do is I need you to come to such and such a place at such and such a time, and we will gather the people together, and we will show them that God has called you to be the king by casting lots and dividing down to the families and then dividing down to you." Well, that's what they did. And Saul's tribe was chosen. Saul's clan was chosen. Saul's family was chosen by casting lots. And then Saul was chosen, but they couldn't find him. And all the people cried out to God and said, "God, he's been chosen. Where is he?" And God answered from heaven and said, "He's hiding underneath the baggage." As I read those words, I heard God say to me, "Why are you hiding underneath the baggage?" And I have revisited those words many times in my ministry. And God said to me, "I am calling you out to be a pastor. Why are you hiding among the baggage?" Well, I want to take this one step further. Because you see, we use that terminology just as I did in telling my story in the church to talk about a call into vocational ministry. Whether it be a pastor, an assistant pastor, a music director, a music minister, a youth leader, whatever it might be, we use that in the church, don't we? This person is called to such and such a position. You know what? This may be new for you, but God is calling you to something specific in the ministry of the church. God is calling you. Now let's look at Jeremiah's call to see if we can understand some things, and then we can use this to help us. You see, this is Jeremiah's call to be a prophet of God. This that I read is what is often referred to as the call of Jeremiah. He is called into ministry, and I want you to listen how it starts out. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." God knew who Jeremiah was going to be formed to be. God knew the role for Jeremiah in the ministry of God's kingdom. God knew all of that before Jeremiah even started to be formed in the womb. Now that's incredible, isn't it? God knew that. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." I appointed you. Before Jeremiah was ever formed in the womb, before Jeremiah was ever born, God already picked him out to be a prophet to the nations. Already. Now, I want to remind you once again, being a prophet does not mean always talking about end times. And that's sometimes how it gets interpreted in our society, that prophecy deals with the end times, when the end of the world comes. Prophecy deals with God's word spoken by a human in the midst of this world. It could be for this exact moment that that word is needed. Not somewhere 20, 30, 40, 100, 1,000 years down the line. It could be for this exact moment. Matter of fact, I am more a believer in that than I am in prophecy being about end times. Because I want you to think of the situations of these prophets in the Old Testament. The people are being carted off to exile. They don't need a word about what's going to happen thousands of years from now from God, do they? They need a word for right now. They need a word for what God's doing in their midst, how God is going to use them at this moment. That's the word they need, not something thousands of years down the road. They need to hear God speak now, don't they? Would you prefer God speak to you now about what's going on in your life now and bringing you guidance and understanding on how to work through it, or to share with you something that's going to happen 1,000 years from now? Which would be more useful to your spiritual walk? God speaking to you about what's happening right now, and how you can use God's resources, God's strength, God's energy, God's encouragement in your life at this moment. So please remember, that's a big part of the prophet. A big part of a prophet is to hear what God's saying right now and speak that right now, so that the people can have some encouragement for what's happening now. You see, God chose a role in ministry for Jeremiah before he was ever born. Before Jeremiah was ever born, God says, I have a role for you. What does that mean? That means that Jeremiah is probably going to be formed in the right way. That means that Jeremiah is probably going to have the life experiences that he needs in order to be the person that God wants him to be. Think about that. God's busy forming all that and putting everything in place for that to happen before Jeremiah is ever born. That's incredible. God, before I was born, started putting things in place that I could be the pastor here on this day. That's what that means. Is that incredible or what? That, to me, is incredible. God made sure I had the experiences I need to get to this point. I started speaking publicly probably when I was 10 or 11 years old. I started teaching probably when I was about 13. Did God have a plan with all that? Looks like it to me. I can believe also, before I was born, God started putting those things in place. Now, I want to admit to you, then when God comes to you and says, this is what I want you to do, oh, it is so easy to go, but not me. It's so easy to say, I can't do that. Maybe we don't say, God, are you crazy? But sometimes that's what we really believe, don't we? God, you're choosing me for that? Is that not what Jeremiah does? Look at what Jeremiah does. Jeremiah says, oh Lord, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm too young to be a prophet. I know, there's not many of us in here that can say that, right? I'm too young to be a prophet. And then Jeremiah also says what? Blah, 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 blah. I can't talk too good. I don't have words to do this. I don't have a way to do this. Not me, Lord. The very first thing we do when God comes to us is we find excuses. Jeremiah provided excuses on why he couldn't do what God was asking him to do. But now don't stop there. Because Jeremiah provides excuses and God dismisses every one. He dismisses every excuse that Jeremiah comes up with. Oh, Lord, I'm too young. And God says what? Don't say that. You're not too young. I chose you. You're not too young. Now, I know most of you in here at some point in time will probably tell me, oh, Pastor, I'm too old to do that. Amen. What do you think God would say to that? But I chose you. But I chose you, God says. I'm too old, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, do you not know that I can't walk and chew bubble gum at the same time? And I can see God going, yeah, I know that. I've watched that. That's pretty funny at times. What would God say? I chose you. I chose you. After sitting down with Paul Carter and him telling me that he didn't think I was called into ministry, God continued to speak to me until I took that day to fully understand what God was saying to me. And as soon as God did that, and as soon as I fully understand that, it wasn't a half a breath, and I started making excuses. But Lord, I'm a deacon in the church that I'm at, and I have a valuable ministry amongst the college and career people, and I'm their Sunday school teacher, and they really need some help getting established in life. Lord, I can't leave this church. Lord, I work in shipyards up and down the East Coast. Most pastors can't get into shipyards. I can work in the shipyard and I can bring the word of Jesus Christ to people that really need it, because a lot of them, Lord, you know, they're not good people. They're not Christians. You know what God said? God said, you know the people in the church you're concerned about? Do you think I can't take care of them? Do you think I don't love them more than you love them? Do you really think I can't replace you? I've got you called for another work. And that just reinforced what one of them said to me. Because I spoke with one of them one night, and she was the most undiplomatic person I have ever met in my life. If she thought it, she was going to say it. It didn't matter if it might have been hurtful words or not. The meaning was there, and she was trying to express what she felt. And I said, Susan, you know what I think? And I shared with her what I thought. And she looked at me and she said these words. Will you get out of the way and stop being a crutch for us? Because some of us aren't going to grow up and be the right kind of Christians until you leave. A little undiplomatic. That's one of the things I loved about her. I never walked away from Susan wondering what she meant. A little hurtful. But it was a word I needed to hear. She said, as long as you are here and helping us, we're probably not going to take the next step that we need to take. And if you're not here, we'll have to step up in some ways. Okay. I made other excuses. I found other reasons why I couldn't. I even went to the pastor at one point in time, the pastor that we had at that time, and I said, Don, I can't do it. And he looked at me and said, if you can tell God no, I'm okay with that. And he walked off. And I didn't speak to him for a month. I was normally in his office every time I was at church. And for a month, I didn't even say hi to him. God dismisses every excuse we got. You see, I couldn't do it because I had three young kids. I couldn't do it because I couldn't make enough money and go to school. I got so many scholarships, I never paid a penny for school. Got scholarships and grants and never had to pay back a penny of any of it. God made sure. I will tell you one small story about one of the scholarships. It was a scholarship worth $500. And it had an application that was seemed like it was this thick. They wanted to know what size shoe you had and whether you put on your left shoe first before your... It was incredible. All the things that they wanted to know for $500. And I about said, I am not going to fill it out because I don't qualify. They gave it to people who first lived in Petersburg, Virginia. And we didn't live in Petersburg. And that was the very first qualification. I was encouraged to fill it out anyway and send it in. Guess where the first church was I worked for? Petersburg. One day, Deanne and I were going to a funeral, not one that I was doing. We were just attending a funeral while I was still in seminary, and we parked in Blandford Cemetery, which is, by the way, for those people of blue blood, that is the cemetery to be buried in Petersburg. And you're not an official member of the community there until you have three generations of your family buried in Blandford Cemetery. You're always going to be an outsider until that happens. It's probably still that way. Some of the people in Petersburg and around Petersburg still have signs on their property that says, this land granted to our family by King George. We were getting out of the car. Dan was getting out of this side, and there was, you know, the cemetery was right there, and I was getting out on the roadside. And Deanne turned and looked at me and she said, well, are you going to say thank you? And as every husband does, what did I do now? What am I supposed to say thank you for? What did you do to help me? I don't understand. I don't get it. She says, you really ought to say thank you. And I'm like, for what? She said, here's Mary Louise Old Andrews' grave. That was who that scholarship was named after. She says, I think you ought to step over here and at least tell the lady thank you for the $500 she gave you. By the way, the second year I went to fill out that application, I was like, I ain't doing it. I called the bank to find out that was in charge of it. I called the bank and I said, what do I need to do to reapply for this for next year? And the guy asked me, he said, are you still in seminary? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, are you still making passing grades? I said, yes, sir, I am. He says, okay, you qualify for next year's. We'll send you a check for $500. Didn't have to fill the form out again. Boy, I was a happy, happy, happy camper that day. Guys, No matter what excuse you come up with on why you can't do what God asked you to do, God's got a reason why that excuse is no good. You see, God calls each of us to a certain role in ministry. God calls each of us to a certain role. We use that word call to talk about vocational ministry and people that do it full-time or part-time. God is calling you to a role in ministry. You. God is calling you. Now, I know you got your list of excuses ready. I can't talk, I can't do this, I can't, God, I'm not a very organized person. God, you know that person over there in the pew over there? They would be better at it than me. And God says what? I chose you. And matter of fact, God says, I chose you before you were ever born. I set this particular part of ministry aside for you before you were ever born. Not for anybody else, for you. It's your call. You're the one that needs to respond. And the second part, which we've already talked about, is God is ready to dismiss every excuse that we can mention. God is ready to dismiss every excuse that we are mentioning. If you come to God and say, God, I'm too old to do that, what do you think God's going to say? I chose you. I know people don't like me using the Bible sometimes for this, but Moses was 80 years old when he started his ministry. 80. I'm looking around the room. There's not a whole lot of you in here that are going to even admit to be even close to that age. You're going to tell me that you're still 28. God says, I chose you. So you know what I think we need to be about? We need to be about helping people find out what their calling is. We need to be about helping people to know what God's saying to them. That where they need to be involved in ministry. One of the things I really, really love is mechanical clocks. Got one hanging in our living room that doesn't work right now. I had it working at one point, and I keep fiddling with it every once in a while and fiddling with it and fiddling with it to try to get it working again. I know, I can take it to somebody. But you know what? I'm a mechanic. I like to play with mechanical things and try to understand how they work. There's an awful lot of parts in there. As a young child, my parents bought me watches, before digital watches, by the way. And I had a whole drawer full of them. Do you want to know why I had a whole drawer full of them? Because I took them apart to try to figure out how they worked. And then I didn't have the ability to put them back together. So my parents would buy me another one, and I'd take that one apart. And they would buy me another one, and I'd take that. I had a whole drawer in my desk as a kid full of broken watches that didn't work. I'm talking 10, 20 watches, not one or two. Why my parents kept buying them, I don't know. When I was in my 30s, my brother gave me what's called a skeleton clock. It's just a clock movement on a board with a piece of plexiglass over it so you can see all the movements. And he gave it to me for one Christmas, and he says, I'm giving this to you so you can see how it works without taking it apart. You know what? Every piece in that clock is important, or it doesn't work. Break a spring, and it doesn't work. lose a screw so that a wheel cannot be put in and anchored down completely right, and it doesn't work. Guess what? The church doesn't work without all its parts. And you are a crucial part to the church working. And God has called you to a very specific ministry even before you were born. And God prepared you to be ready for that ministry before God called you. And God has answers to every excuse that you've got. And your pastor's not going to hear them either. Because to me, if you got an excuse, then you're saying, God, no, I don't want to do that. And I guess I'll ask you as Don asked me. If you can tell God no, I'll be okay with that. Otherwise, I'm probably still going to bug you. What's the role that God's calling you to? God's ready to dismiss every excuse you have for that. No matter what it is, God's ready. So I'm going to ask you to think about this for this week. Are you ready? Are you ready to set aside excuses and believe in the power of God to guide you in your calling? Are you ready to set aside excuses and believe in the power of God to guide you in your calling? There is no greater feeling in the world. No greater feeling, in my opinion. When you know that God's working in you and through you to fulfill the calling that God has for you. Are you ready to set aside excuses? Are you ready to let God's power guide you? Let's pray. Lord, there is no doubt that you're still in the business of calling folks. We look at the call of those in Scripture and we see how great they were and how powerful they were and how they were able to do what you asked them to do. And Lord, we look at them and we say, we can't do that. We're not that kind of person. But yet, Lord, you're still sitting in heaven saying, I called you. And Lord, every one of us can hear that from you. Every one of us know that you have spoken those words in our lives. And sometimes we've done so much not to pay attention to them. We've busied ourselves with other things. We've made excuses on why we can't. And Lord, you're knocking every one of them down. I pray, Lord, for each one of us that we will come to that place where we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to live into what you have called me to. Help each one of us to make that decision. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.